don't know, but originally his name was Gaz, and then he changed it to Tom Gazzola. He joins us now. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm good. Should I feel bad and slighted that Connor prefers to go by Connor instead of Thomas?
Well, it's not really him. It's his parents. They named him Thomas Connor and then basically just called him Connor. They realized, they were like, I don't know why. They didn't like the name. So dad was just like, because I think the story was, Connor, and correct me if I'm wrong, was it your mom wanted one name, and so that was the name they put in the birth certificate, but then your dad just called you Connor, the name he wanted?
Yeah, one of the names was kind of like for an old family member, I think. And honestly, I remember there being a Thomas at my daycare when I was like 3 or 4 years old, and he was kind of a jerk. So I like didn't want to be affiliated with him in any way. So I was good with Connor. It was not Tom Gazzola, though.
No. Oh, man. I don't go by Thomas anyway, so unless I'm getting in trouble from one of my parents or something like that. But I don't know. By the way, my dad's a Renato Lorenzo Gazzola, and my mom is from Poland, and her name is Eva with a W, and her middle name, I can't even pronounce properly, is like Margojata. And I looked at my parents when I was like 20 years old. I'm like, how did I end up with Thomas Lawrence and my brother is Michael Joseph and my youngest brother is Paul Adam? And you guys are from Europe. How does that happen? They were dumbfounded.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they just wanted, you know, they'd used up all the European names. Maybe they're all the European people they knew. They're like, we don't like them, so we're going to change different names.
Hey, I wouldn't mind a Tomazino like my Nona calls me, or a Tomas. Or Tomasz with a weird Z at the end after the S on the Polish side. I think that's kind of cool. A little Euro flair, not bad.
Hey, boys, I went to school with Soren Sorensen. Seen a trend here. Like, is that a European trend? It might be. I don't mind it. Everybody has different trends. Huh? Bogdanovic, that's what got us started on the conversation, because, of course, the Bucks traded for him. Now, there hasn't been a lot of rivalries early on this season, but a little bit of – let me preface this by saying this illustrates how lacking in trash talking there's been in this NFL season. But, of course, the Chiefs are 8-1. Their only loss came when they lost to the Las Vegas Raiders earlier, and it was reported that the Raiders bus took a lap around Arrowhead Stadium before heading off to the airport. It got confirmed, and then Andy Reid was asked about it. He's like, hey, they can do whatever they want. And then later on they asked him, does he think the Chiefs have an advantage over the Raiders after losing the first matchup? He goes, no, I think they do, or they wouldn't have driven the bus around the stadium. I love it. So definitely it's on their mind, and why not? I have never heard of a victory lap around the stadium. I have to say, I kind of like it.
I don't mind this gamesmanship. These are two good teams. Obviously, the Chiefs having won the Super Bowl last year and them being at the tippy top right now, I get it. And the funny thing is, too, is so they asked Andy Reid about it, and then they asked John Gruden about it after the victory lap around Arrowhead. And you know what he did? He blamed it on the bus driver who apparently had a comment for the Raiders after the win. And Gruden said it was the bus driver being a smart aleck. And I don't know if that's just Gruden being a wily vet, Griggs, and blaming the bus driver when in fact it might just be them being cocky because they knocked off the champs in the regular season.
I think if anything, cocky, just have fun with it. Why not? Like, sports is supposed to be fun. And if you defeat the defending champs on the road, do a victory lap outside. I love it.
There's no one tailgating, that's for sure. So, yeah, I don't mind it. I like the gamesmanship, though. It kind of gets the juices flowing for their rematch.
Yeah, why not? And they're going to have to play very well because you know the Jets will be fired up. No question about that. Did you saw the Strutty, and Strutty, you know, we love talking about his Giants, but cornerback DeAndre Baker had the charges, robbery charges against him are being dropped after the lawyer for three of the alleged victims was arrested for extortion.
Oh, man. And we talked about this when this kind of broke, and it was like this crazy story at a Miami party where these two NFL players, Quentin Dunbar being the other one, and Baker, of course, being involved, apparently lost a bunch of money in a card game. And then they went to this high-end party in Miami, and they had a getaway, and they robbed everyone that was at this party. Like, it was this crazy, far-fetched story. So, like you said, now all of a sudden, the attorney who was trying this case and wanted to get money out of these two players, they've basically gotten to the bottom of the entire allegations, and it was this guy. And if you see his mugshot, like, you just, I don't want to judge a book by a cover on this one, Greggs, but when you look at the guy's mugshot, you go, yeah, I could see him being the kind of guy that would try to extort a couple of NFL players. And they basically, they got to the bottom of it. Three of the people that pressed charges, their stories, they basically said, yeah, it's all fabricated. We didn't do this. So it's just slimy people trying to take advantage of people in a position of power, a position of affluence. To me, it's another one of those where didn't it cost Baker his job with the Giants too? They ended up cutting him in September.
Well, and that's one where you look, because now the three victims, Julius Lamar, Stephen Compton, and Tommy Harshaw, said in a sworn statement that Baker, quote, did not directly or indirectly participate in any robbery or assist in a robbery at the scene or elsewhere. They added that they didn't see Baker rob or assault anyone with or without a firearm, because this lawyer was allegedly trying to extort Baker out of $800,000. He was going to get $266,000 for each one of his clients, and then he would get down for it. Now it turns out to be nothing. Like, clearly he's not the brightest lawyer out there. But now, here's the troubling part. So let's say you're Baker. Your name's been sullied. Turns out maybe you didn't do anything wrong. You got cut. Will he get another chance? I would think so. If he doesn't, he's probably going to sue that lawyer, but the lawyer doesn't have any money, so he still ends up getting screwed over.
Just an awful situation all around. Hopefully some team gives him another opportunity, but it's another one of those examples where, you could be at the top of your game and people target you, and this is right. It's in the spotlight. Like, I honestly hope that this has a positive ending for Baker and that this doesn't end his career. But, man, you look at that and you just go, this is extreme sliminess at its peak. To me, I just look at that and go, well, first of all, the story sounded far-fetched to begin with. Why would these two players be trying to pull off a heist at a ritzy party and then all of a sudden, they're being charged for this? Like, it's just... It's. I hope there's a made-for-TV movie about it, or even a feature film, because this is ridiculous.
Well, it is a little ridiculous. I'm not sure it's a feature film, but it's definitely ridiculous about it. Now, last night, in honor of the great late Alex Trebek, Mr. Thielen from the Minnesota Vikings get some special cleats made, that had we will miss you, Alec, and had Trebek on the other side, and then he goes out and scores two touchdowns.
Yeah, and it's those moments are special, and this just adds to the mystique of it. And I want to say this too. I really like that football players. We've seen it in the CFL as well with some guys. They customize their spikes, and I think it's a really cool touch. I don't know about you, Gregor, but watching the outpouring of support and love and affection for Alex Trebek after it was announced that he had passed away after his battle with cancer, I really sat back and I was like, wow. I mean, this guy has been a part of my entire life, just from a distance. Jeopardy, it's a cult classic. The Will Ferrell skits from SNL. And I know there was a tremendous amount of support and love for Alex Trebek, but this is a nice touch that highlights it. And the other thing too that I got a kick out of was him when he would flub up on his promos and doing segments. And the guy wasn't afraid to let the F-bombs fly. I thought that good people do make it to the top, and Alex Trebek was one of those. And I just love everything that we've seen in terms of the positivity towards Alex Trebek in his life. And this is another great example.
Tommy, I looked at the Oilers and how they score goals due to Kevin Woodley in a conversation we had last week about what I call gritty goals. And what falls under the category of gritty goals are, you know, goals scored off of rebounds or deflection goals, nine broken plays or goals due to screens. And the Oilers were, you know, in the bottom half of all of them. Not very good. They were, you know, 31st in expected goals created off rebounds, 29th in deflection goals, you know, 15th in screens, a little bit better. Now, they're really good in some areas of, like, cross-seam passes, very good in creating from behind the net and, you know, stuff like that. So, they're obviously good in some areas. But I look at this team and Francois Allaire said that 60% of playoff goals kind of come from those four that we just described. Mm-hmm. And if I have one small concern about the Oilers is I think they'll be fine in the regular season. I think they're actually going to score way more goals because they added way more skill in Turris and Ennis and Puljujarvi and Yamamoto and Cahoon compared to the five guys they replaced them with. I have no doubt there. And that's step one. Now, later on in the future, I think you'll see the moves they made now. Some of those guys might, you know, you might even see somebody moved in or out during the season because I think they'll want to diversify and have a little bit more grit added at some point in the season leading to the playoffs.
Yeah, and that stat and those facts that you pointed out about the way the Oilers score goals, they don't surprise me at all. I mean, I used to hate the cycle. I thought the cycle was boring. You know, when I played, I hated it and never understood the reason why. And you watch now, and the good teams score those ugly garbage goals, Greg. And in the postseason, I don't think the Oilers established the cycle. I don't think they tired out the Blackhawks' defense. I don't think they got enough pucks funneled towards the net. We talked about it. And the Hawks were able to expose that. We saw plenty of one-and-dones off the rush, and, you know, those pretty fancy goals that the Oilers got away with scoring in the regular season, those opportunities were minimized by the Hawks. And there are some elements on the Oilers that I think could score those ugly, greasy goals. You know, you tweeted out the Puljujärvi grit, little knee-on-knee action there where he was penalized. And if he's a guy that I look at and, you know, we know he has skill. We know he can shoot the puck. But if I were him, I would want to start simple. I would want to learn how to play sort of like Alex Chiasson in front of the net or James Neal in front of the net. Those guys don't score pretty goals. They score ugly goals. And start with that. And then you bang a couple home, and all of a sudden you have this confidence. And then when the puck's on your stick, you're feeling it. And you're feeling it really well. And then that's where the pretty plays happen. So there's some components of the Oilers' forward unit that I think has the ability to score some of those goals. And I think you're right in that the Oilers should probably try to focus on that and establishing the cycle and a forecheck and not trying to score. I mean, you want to score all the time, obviously, but it doesn't always have to be one of those five-star highlights every time. Those are pretty, and we all love watching them, and seeing them in person is amazing. But, you know, they count the same and just as much as the ones that barely cross the line and were the ugliest goals that were shoveled in by someone banging and crashing. So hopefully the third and fourth lines, let's call them that. I use air quotes saying that. Maybe they can find a way to score those gritty goals. Josh Archibald scores them. Jujhar Khaira scores them. There's some guys that are capable of doing it. It's a matter of getting it done and maybe putting an onus on doing that in the team's collective mindset.
Oh, no, totally. But keep in mind, it can't just be your grinders. Alex Ovechkin leads the NHL in goals. Watch how many goals he scores from just outside the crease, right? Like, we all see the one-timers and the sniper goals. Alex Ovechkin still scores rebound goals and stuff like that. And so, to me, it's a collective team. And it doesn't have to be a massive increase, as I mentioned earlier, just a little bit. And that becomes a mindset overall. You know, like, you look at guys, Patrick Hornquist is a player who's excellent at it. You know, then you had the guy in Detroit for years whose name, Thomas Holmstrom, and of course Holmstrom, Ryan Smith. Yep. Like, those are guys who are really good at it. But, you know, like, Jesse Puljujärvi with a big reach and a stick like that, and it's something that has to happen in practice. You have to, in order to become good at deflecting pucks, you literally have to deflect pucks all the time. It's kind of boring, but man, it can be a huge, Ryan Smith became a multi-millionaire because he was dogged work and he put in the time so he could deflect pucks. And, you know, Joe Pavelski, you look at guys like, man, you can go from an 18 goal scorer to a 28 goal scorer pretty quickly without, you know, having a combined 10 feet radius for all your goals. Combined 10 feet because you're probably a foot outside the goalie every time.
Yeah. A goal's a goal. And I know it seems simple, but sometimes it eludes people, especially when you have confidence and you know you want to try and pull off brilliant moves. But I'm not going to lie to you. I can appreciate a gritty goal just as much as a pretty goal. So let's see if the focus shifts and there is an onus on that in the coming season when things get going.
Tommy, have yourself a great evening. And the NBA, we'll talk a little bit more NBA tomorrow on all the moves. So it should be fun. Have a good one.
All right. Take care, guys.